This is Yusuf.
And this is
Inflight Entertainment, the triple F, aka the freaking frightening film month. And we are in the freaking frightening film vampire week.
And we are going back to the original horror movie, the original vampire movie, the 1922 silent film classic, Nosferatu.
Yes, the unofficial Dracula film, if you will.
Yes.
Yes.
We'll touch on it a little bit later on, but the directors and producers didn't secure the copyrights to the book, and so that caused a few issues with them. But before we dive into the movie, we don't have what was on TV in 1922 because there wasn't.
Nope. I could have went into like the radio shows. That was that a thing in the 20s or was that the 30s? I don't know.
I don't know if there are lists ranking the top radio shows. But at the very least, the White House got a radio in it in 1922, while our U.S. President Warren G. Harding was residing there. We also had some other fun things happening in 1922. Reader's Digest had its first issue. Babe Ruth signs a 3-year contract with the New York Yankees. Who's the late Gandhi was imprisoned for 6 years by the British magistrate.
Brits.
Yes. How dare they? Joseph Stalin was appointed general secretary of the Russian Communist Party because Vladimir Lenin went and had a stroke. And then we had the amazing Annie Oakley set a world record for breaking 100 clay targets in a row. Some of the fun things happening in 1922.
Nice. And that's a lot of events in 1922. Yeah. And in 1922, the world witnessed this silent masterpiece of Nosferatu. A silent film, with silent films were accompanied by, piano or not necessarily orchestral, but, it was music, like live music. It was accompanied by, mostly piano, though.
Yeah, so, I mean, depending on the theater where you were seeing it, if it was a big theater, you might get a full orchestra. But, yeah, normally you would just get a bit of a piano person playing off to the side. Also, because it is a silent film, that means you are reading title cards with story dialogue and story direction versus the actors saying everything out loud. Mm-hmm. Nosferatu is actually a German film, and it was directed by F.W. Murnau, and it was the people that have seen, everyone has seen clips of this movie. They may not have known what it was, but Max Schreck played the Dracula character. Graf Orlok, and they couldn't use the real names from the novel Dracula because they didn't have the copyright permits. So they changed up all of the names. So instead of Jonathan, you had Hutter. Instead of Mina, you had Ellen. Instead of the vampire hunter, I can't remember his name right now. You just had the professor.
All right. It wasn't. No. Not Van. Was it Van? No, it wasn't Van Helsing. I'm kind of getting those. Was it? Yes. So yeah, Van Helsing. Yes.
Yeah. So they, you know, they changed up all the names, but all the characters are there basically.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it follows the same story that you have a lawyer, a solicitor that's sent to a foreign country to get a real estate contract signed. And the count sees a photo of his fiance and realizes that's his long lost love reincarnated. So then he goes back to London to try to seduce her and win her heart and make her one of the undead.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, it's like lockstep with the original Bram Stoker story. And with this particular film, you can really sink your teeth into kind of the practical way of film, because that was the only way they knew how to make film, because you know it's black and white, and a lot of in camera effects, like you know how they have a subject there, and then you know. Then that person disappear, or you see them kind of moving closer to the camera without showing them walking. Just the way they used to, you know, figure out ways to, you know, have you back, especially back in those days, watching it like, oh, how did they do that? Oh, this is so kind of cutting edge.
Yeah. So they use basically stop
motion.
They would stop the camera and then start rolling again, similar to what people do today on TikTok. So Nosferatu was really the original TikTok.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? It's kind of like how things go in circles. I'm sure, and that's funny, and that's a lesson. There's inspiration in everything, and now you can, you know, go back to older books. That's kind of like what they're doing now. But like you were saying, I mean, TikTok is almost like what they used to do, like the camera trickery they did back in the 20s and late
20s. Yeah, so like for example, on TikTok, if you ever see someone wearing like casual clothes and then they jump. And then all of a sudden they're in a fancy outfit. That would basically be the same type of stop motion that they're using in Nosferatu.
Yeah. Wow. Crazy. I mean, yeah, we need to reach back into something so we can, you know, have a multi-billion dollar app that so we can sell it and make some money.
So you can currently watch Nosferatu on, I believe, it's Amazon and Tubi. I watched it on Tubi where it was like a really gritty black and white, no color added to it. But apparently the original Nosferatu was, it did have some color tones to it, which is similar to what you can kind of do in like Snapchat or Instagram where you can add or even your Apple camera, when you can add different color effects to things. And so instead of, they couldn't film at night, so they put a blue tint on all of the night images, which you can see, I believe, in the Amazon version, not the Tubi version.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this, and the film kind of behind the scenes, things were like very interesting. For instance, like to circle back to what Jenna was kind of teasing about with the story, the Stoker like estate or the family, you know, they sued the director or the creators of Nosferatu, and I believe it went on for a while.
Yeah, I'm not sure how long it went on, but until the day, so Bram Stoker was dead before the movie came out, and his widow was the one, like his widow and the estate sued the makers of Nosferatu, they had to destroy all copies of the film. And the only reason why we actually have copies of the film today was because it was pirated.
And that's how we...
Am I coming through?
Yeah. No, you're good. Go ahead.
Okay. Basically, we pirate things today. And that really started way back in the 1920s with this film, which is why we are able to see an old school masterpiece.
Yeah, just to think, I mean, because of pirating, we were able to see this particular film, right? It's like, so through the years, pirating kind of helped preserve, certain, movies. Yeah, I know pirating is illegal and it's bad, but back in the day, especially in this particular case, pirating saved Nosferatu, as in we, the audience and the public, are able to see this movie. But left up to, Stoker's widow or wife, we would have never have seen the light of day. We have never seen the light of day.
So because it was a pirated version, we don't know what the original music was. Because to your point earlier, it really was up to whatever theater was playing the movie. They picked the music. When I was watching this the other night, I really wanted music that was similar to like Peter and the Wolf. Like composition where each character has its own instrument or own little song. So when they come on the screen, you're like, yay, it's Count Orlok. the Nosferatu. All right. But I ended up getting, basically it was like the three same songs that was played over and over again in the version I was watching. And I think when you and I were talking about this earlier, you were mentioning how, like, wouldn't it be awesome to have something like a Blade soundtrack or something a little modern to, like, keep the energy up?
Yeah. I mean, that beginning Blade warehouse, house techno track. Like, just imagine that thumping when you first see the silhouette of Nosferatu kind of cutting through the hallways. That would be amazing. And speaking of music, so fun fact, because we stand on the theme of Nosferatu and music. So different soundtracks was written for Nosferatu. Pretty much this sort of thing often happens in silent films. When Nosferatu premiered in Berlin, it was accompanied by a live orchestral score composed by one Hans Erdmann. No recordings of this original soundtrack are known to exist, although a few restorations have been made. So pretty much with silent films, it depended on who, was showing which, theater house and in-house, musicians or whatever were there. They were kind of put their own spin or on the music of the silent film you're watching. So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so the most famous, besides this being the story of Dracula, the most famous character in this movie is Nosferatu, played by Max Schreck. And he really set the stage for how all future vampires are really played. He's like this creepy, silent, super still, serial still. He blinks once in the entire movie. He doesn't do any real fast movements. And he's just like perfection of creepiness to the point where I think it was in the 1950s, the movie was reviewed, and the reviewer said that Max Schreck was a real vampire, which is has stuck around this urban legend about Max Schreck being a real vampire, so much so that in 2000, there was a movie called Shadow of the Vampire that sort of plays off of that idea. that he was vampire.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. Shadow of the Vampire stars Willem Dafoe playing Max, you know, so, and kind of like a behind the scenes of how he used to, I guess, get into character, how like his method acting, so to speak, to give you that creepy, menacing, statuesque image of this otherworldly creature, so if you want to call him that. Yeah, that's a really good way. It's going to star Willem Dafoe and John Malkovich, I believe. So definitely, I would say if you watch Nosferatu, follow it up with Shadow of the Vampire.
Yeah, so I followed up Nosferatu with the Keanu Reeves, Winona Ryder movie, Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah.
It was fascinating to see the two, like, counts played back to back. Who played Dracula in Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Gary freaking Oldman.
Right, yes. So, like, the way in Nosferatu, you don't always see the vampire creeping up on the girl. You see, like, the shadow of his hand or the shadow of him creeping up on whoever his victim is going to be. And in Bram Stoker's Dracula, they did a lot of that, which I thought was fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of play on, you know, the shadows and kind of like, yeah. His literally his shadow.
Oh, it was a homage to the original vampire movie.
Yeah. Oh, Gary Oldman. Oh God. He's a national treasure. I mean, that dude's acting is just, can't go wrong. Let's stay on Nosferatu, because like I said, we'll do Bram Stoker, you know, another time. We'll save that for next Halloween movies. But yeah, I mean, it was such a joy to rewatch this movie, you know, because of what they used to do as far as film. It was kind of, yeah, it was fairly, it wasn't fairly new, but they were constantly pushing the aesthetics of storytelling in a, you know, movie form. And it's just good to see where we were far as the medium and where we are now. I mean, just the evolution. And then just seeing, you know, if this is a black and white silent movie where it depended on the visual performance of these actors, because you couldn't hear them. You couldn't hear them scream. You couldn't hear them, you know, growl or hiss or anything. You know, it was all in the expression, you know, and we had to rely on the text to get the scene or what was going on in the scene. So, yeah, I mean, they had to do a lot, and they did a lot considering the limit of the medium at the time. So, yeah, it's just a kick. It's just a blast to see, you know, what they used to do back in the day.
Yeah. So our rating is Safe on the Sofa. Getting your steak to kill the vampire that might be coming into your house. Or just running out in the street and exposing your neck, saying, come and get me.
Right.
So it is Safe on the Sofa for me. I think it's a brilliant classic movie. Everyone should watch it. You know, your kids may not enjoy it, but put on some music that they like and have it be like a reading lesson with them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like schoolwork.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even though they're not like an obscene amount of title cards to read. I mean, there are some. No.
And they're up on the screen forever. So
yeah,
nothing is more than like two sentences long, and they're up there for a very long time. So you do have time to read it.
Right.
But yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. A paragraph will probably be on the screen for a minute. pretty much. Yeah, it's sit down for me, of course. I definitely gave away my talking about it, but yeah, no, it was good. I mean, you know, it was good. You know, if you, yeah, for young people that's really curious about where we were as far as, you know, filmmaking and storytelling back in the day. Yeah. And like I say, go down the silent movie rabbit hole. Do this, do Metropolis, what is it, Trip to the Moon? Is it that? I think it's Trip to the Moon. Yeah, some Charlie Chaplin stuff, some Buster Keaton stuff. Yeah, I mean, just get into it. I mean, because it's a blast to watch.
Yes. So, there's one thing I forgot to mention, was that in the lore of vampires, many of us believe that the way to take out a vampire is by exposing them to the sun. And this is the reason, this movie is the reason why we have that fun fact. It doesn't come from any of the lore. It doesn't come from Dracula. In Dracula, the novel, he can actually walk in the sun. It doesn't hurt him. It just makes him a little weaker.
Right. Yeah.
So, Desperado. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. So
it's the only reason why what's his name on Tuesday's Vampires Classic was able to kill the vampires, dragging them out to the sun.
Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why Blade is Blade, because he can walk in daytime and all the other vampires can't.
Right. So we really have Nosferatu to thank for keeping us Blade.
Exactly. You're welcome, America. Cool. Until, I guess, yeah, we're going to have some fun stuff lined up for you guys next week. So stay tuned. Until then, wish everyone safe physical distancing and
wear a mask and make sure you vote.
Yes.